Now, we're going to go, however, to a personal tour of Japan, a very different type of personal tour. Because in Japan, even the toilets, it would appear, and the vending machines are a bit of an adventure. At least that's the claim of American cartoonist Abby Denson, a Nipponophile, who has just released the Cool Japan Guide, fun in the land of manga, lucky cats and ramen through Tuttle Publishing. It's a quirky book, it must be said, with a variety of cultural explanations and travel tips, mostly for the novice, but also for the seasoned visitor, all done in stunning manga style, and we thought it was a worthy addition to our Traveller's Tale series. Abby joins me now on the phone from New York City. Welcome to Saturday Extra.
Hi.
Good to have you join us. Now, your interest in Japan started presumably with comics, but developed because of a particular friendship, I understand, with a Japanese pen pal, Yuko, who features in the book.
That's right, Yuko Koyama.
Tell us about her.
Well, back in the 90s when I was in college, I did a mini comic, and she had visited in New York City and purchased it at a store. And when she returned, she wrote back to me, and it turns out she was a comic artist also, so we became pen pals. And then when I went to study in Japan at Sophia University for their summer session, we met in person, and we really hit it off, and we started collaborating on comics together. And since then, I've visited her many times in Japan.
She's a manga artist, isn't she?
That's correct.
Yeah. And could you explain manga to us, how it evolved and how it compares to the normal comics or cartoon format that we might see here in Australia or, for that matter, in the US?
Well, manga really just means comics. The word means comics. So I could say my American comics or comics made in Australia or anywhere else are technically manga. But manga has a history in Japan, some say going back to about 12th century from scrolls, where they were telling kind of entertaining narrative stories. Later on, some people posit that the more kind of current manga style was influenced by American comics, particularly like Disney and some of the, you know, things like the big eyes that people often mention, kind of developed later on. But after the scrolls, there was a series. There was a thing called Kamishibai, which was when a street performers would have a box where they would slide illustrations, and that would also narrate the story. And that was popular till about the 50s when TV kind of came in and supplanted that.
And has manga influenced American comic development and the other way around? You know, you were just saying that obviously the Disney and so on influenced them.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, I think, when it comes to women's comic culture, with American comics, when Sailor Moon and other anime and animations and manga started coming into America more in the 90s, I'd say, I really think it kickstarted more women being interested in creating and reading manga and, you know, creating their own comic books in America and worldwide.
Now, you haven't, in your delightful book, you haven't mentioned porn. And I know that there's quite one of the shocks, because you talk about, and we'll come to it, you know, sitting on the trains and the courtesy and the politeness, but one of the things that can be quite striking is the amount of sort of ready consumption of porn just out in the open as people are on trains and so on. Does that exist in manga form or not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's manga in Japan for all ages about all kinds of topics. So if you go to different manga shops or comic book shops, you know, you might be surprised when you go in that you'll see that they do have a lot of adult comics that are sometimes kind of pretty close to the general manga, but a lot of times it's on separate floors or they'll have like an 18 plus sign in that area.
Right, I see. And did you find yourself, because a couple of people have said this to me, did you find this a bit of a, you know, was it a bit in a way confronting to, just to see that this was a much more normal part of traveling life than it would be, say, in the US or here?
I don't didn't really feel like it impinged on my general traveling life. Like, people mention about it on the subways, but I don't remember actually ever running into it on the subway there. And I've been going to Japan for a while. But definitely, you know, if you go into a store and it says, like, comics in English on the sign, and if you just walk in and you're expecting kind of to see more kid-friendly material, it could be kind of surprising and jarring to see that there are a lot of adult comics right there.
So. Now, explain to us as well, otaku, I think that's the correct pronunciation, or geek culture, which you refer to those who aren't a part of it.
Sure. So otaku is kind of a catch-all term for fan culture in a way. So you can be an otaku or a fan of anything, whether it is, you know, manga or anime. There are people who are really big fans of trains, collecting train cars or toys, or what if you like to collect stamps, you know, anything. It can kind of generally mean being an enthusiast, but, you know, people usually refer to it, especially outside of Japan, people refer to it as, you know, pop culture, you know, with manga, anime, or maybe J-pop music, things like that.
Mm. And does this whole pop culture phenomenon in Japan seem in any way at odds with the traditional religious culture? I mean, to the casual traveller, at least, it all seems very integrated. You'll have a sort of Shinto shrine on the footpath next to a vending machine selling a Hello Kitty Buddha. It's and you say most families practice Buddhism or Shinto and will have a shrine in their home.
Well, Buddhism and Shintoism are traditions that are really integrated into Japan's society, and most families do have, they might have a kamidana or like a butsudan, where they can, you know, give offerings to ancestors. But it, you know, people travel to the temples and the shrines for to pray for luck and for different things as kind of a regular activity. And I think it's really nice.
How do you differentiate?
Oh, it's also very calming to visit the temples and shrines, I think.
How do you differentiate between a Buddhist altar and a Shinto shrine, by the way?
When you see Shinto shrines, a lot of times there's going to be a torii, like a, possibly a red gate, and there's a fountain, though sometimes there are also fountains at Buddhist temples. You might see people at a Shinto shrine praying, where they're clapping. There might be a bell to ring at the Shinto shrine. Buddhism, at the Buddhist temples, you are more likely to see incense burners. You are more likely to see, like the monks, kind of the way they look. A lot of times they have close-shaved hair. Their clothes are a little bit more plain. The priests and priestesses at a Shinto shrine often will be in white or a little bit more elaborate kind of clothes.
Mm. How do you relate what you're describing, the sort of the very modern with the traditional? Is it anything like what happens in, say, the US? Because I know there's been quite a few books coming out because Japan's such a puzzle in some ways, and that in many ways, you know, people like MacArthur came and fundamentally overhauled all sorts of practices and habits after the 45 War, but that there was a deep-seated traditionalism that never altered. And whether that's, well, do you think that's a sort of a plus, or is it turning out to be a bit of a minus for Japan as it adjusts to the 21st century?
I think culturally, it's definitely a plus. Like, to as an outsider visiting, I certainly think it is exciting and charming to be able to visit places like Kamakura and to see, you know, as you mentioned, like you're going to a souvenir shop and there's Hello Kitty dressed as Buddha, and you can buy like a Buddha pen and Buddha candy and things like that. But when it comes to other more serious political issues, I'm not really sure if that serves them the best, but you could say that about any country, I think.
Mm, and you advocate homestays as opposed to hotels and so on. Is that easy to organize?
I think that either one is good. Certainly I've been lucky where I had a pen pal and I've had the opportunity to sort of arrange my own homestay that way. But hotels can be fun too. But I think it is nice to be able to go and experience like those little differences.
Right.
You know, if you really want to learn more about a country and if you get to stay, it's nice.
Abby, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Abby Denson is the author of The Cool Japan Guide, Fun in the Land of Manga, Lucky Rats and Ramen, just released by Tuttle Publishing. Well, look, that's the program for today. Thank you to the team, executive producer Jackie May, producers Kate Piercy, Mudita Dyers, and technical producer Lila Schunner. Stay tuned to Radio National for the music show, which is also coming to you from the Perth International Arts Festival, All Roads Leads West, where they take an inside look at the headline act, the opera The Rabbits. That's at 10 o'clock today. Have a good weekend. Blueprint for Life coming up soon. Bye-bye.